Well, that song was just perfect for the message for tonight. You can turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. this passage has been doing a number on me. So misery loves company. So if it stepped on my toes, I thought, I want other people to know the feeling. So I thought I would share it with you, you know. I'm going to preach a message tonight, when compromise creeps in. When compromise creeps in. 2 Chronicles 17, verses 3. Oh, we'll start in verse 1. 2 Chronicles 3, 17, verse 1. Our character for tonight is Jehoshaphat. So there in verse 1, 2 Chronicles 17, 1, Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. So this is a key here. He strengthened himself against Israel. Up north, they were idolatrous. And so he was going to strengthen himself against who they were, what they represented, the attacks they could bring, but he strengthened himself against Israel. And I don't know, sometimes we might think, boy, as Christians, we should be for everyone. And that's, God does love the whole world. But when somebody is idolatrous, you have to strengthen yourself against what people stand for. And we'll get into this. And I think this will be very helpful. It was for even me as we studied. I was asking even my family this morning some questions about this. And one of them said, that's tricky. And I said, thank you. And it does. It says, I should be for people and I should be against their sin. How can I do all of these things? And so that's what we'll talk about a little bit. When compromise creeps in, he strengthens himself against Israel. He placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father and sought not unto Balaam. So God was pleased. I'm not, you can say, well, I wonder if he should have strengthened himself against Israel. The answer is yes, because God was pleased. And so here, whatever he was doing, God was happy with. So let's study this some more. Verse 4, but sought to the Lord God of his fathers. And again, verse 4, I want to remember that. He sought to the Lord. He sought to the Lord. So easy in this life, our attention gets to be in the wrong place. It's so easy, it's so quick, and that's what happened to Jehoshaphat. We'll see that. He sought to the Lord, so things were great. And walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. So he stood, he was strong, and people loved him. He said, well, if I'm strong, people will hate me. People don't like strength. Oh, it's whatever he was doing here, he was strong in the Lord, and Israel just started bringing him gifts. Judah, the people of Judah. He had riches and honor and abundance, and his heart was lifted up the proper way, in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. He was against idolatry in Judah. And also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail and Obadiah and Zechariah and Nethaneel and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. He wanted to make sure the people knew about God. He started a teaching. He made sure there was a teaching ministry. Stir it up. People need to know about God. Verse 8, and with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah and Nethaniah and Zebediah and Asahel and Shemiramoth and Jehanathan and Adonijah and Tobijah. Don't look too closely to make sure I'm pronouncing those all correctly. Tobinijah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, priests. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. That's the way to have peace, isn't it? You're strong for the Lord. You're strong for the Lord, and the Lord takes away the heart of your enemies to come after you. There were times when God stirred up the enemies of Israel and gave them courage to come after them. Isn't it great when God takes away the heart of the enemies so that they cannot come after you? But that's not all. They made no war against Jehoshaphat. And also, and some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents. The Philistines were bringing him presents and tribute, silver. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly. And he built in Judah castles and cities of store. And the rest of this chapter talks about how wonderful things were in Judah. Things were going great. God was blessing. And far too often, this is when compromise begins to creep in. It used to be in the old days, I feared my neighbors and their idolatrous practices. I strengthened myself against them. The very beginning of the next chapter, we see him making friends with Israel. The very nation he stood against, he strengthened against himself against. I used to be weak. I had to be careful, but now I'm strong. I don't have to be careful anymore in these matters of worldliness. I'm doing well enough. I don't have to fear anything anymore. I wonder if I can make friends with my brethren up north. Chapter 18, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. The people he strengthened himself against, and God blessed. God poured out his blessing. Now, you know what? I'm going to think less about what divides me. I'm going to think less about what divides me from the people around me and think more about what unites me. Those are my brethren up north. Here's the thing, you say, that sounds really good. Maybe we should be thinking about less about what divides us from people and more about what unites us. But I think the word there is what divides us or what unites us and not who divides us. Who is it that I follow that it used to be the one that caused me not to have this relationship with these others that give God, they despise God. They worship these idols. Their focus was that person. I wonder what unites me. I'm going to focus on what unites me instead of what divides me. I tell you what, get your focus off of anyone down here. Get it up here, and he will help you with your relationships with everyone on this earth. Amen. His focus now was on, boy, I wonder what unites me with my neighbors to the north. Things so quickly began to go downhill. When the Bible says he joined affinity, there was marital compromise. We don't see it here, but what was going on in chapter 21, verse 6, we see that his son was married to the daughter of Ahab. Boy, there was an affinity there. Their families started to be joined. No! No! Somebody's an idol worshiper? No! We don't join families. Absolutely not. There was marital compromise. This came back to haunt them horribly. We'll see that toward the end. Marital compromise. Then there was military compromise. Soon, Jehoshaphat is fighting alongside Ahab. Remember when his focus was on God and he didn't have to fight? Things were so good. There was fear upon the nations all around. All of a sudden, he's got this affinity he should never have had. And he finds himself in chapter 18 fighting alongside Ahab. In chapter 18, Ahab, he says, "Boy, I'd like to retake Ramoth-Gilead from Syria." There's more details about that in 2 Kings 22. And Jehoshaphat says, "I'll come along and help you." And then he says some scary, scary words in chapter 18, verse 3. "Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, 'Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead?' And he answered him, 'I am as thou art.'" That sounds familiar, doesn't it? We heard something similar with the lying prophet that lied to. In this case, it's not the danger of lying. Here's the danger of compromise. There was a similarity. They were his brethren to the north, but he wasn't as he was. I am as thou art. When you follow God and somebody else is an idolater, you may share blood. You may share a whole lot of things, but you cannot say, I am as thou art. Right. When you love God and they do not, you cannot say, I am Amen. As thou art. And my people is thy people, and we will be with thee in war. All right, so this chapter is, and again, I just imagine Jehoshaphat sitting there because the circus begins. Jehoshaphat is sitting there, and there is Ahab, and Jehoshaphat watches this complete circus and still goes into battle with him. So Jehoshaphat, when you begin to compromise, you lose your mind. You lose your marbles. Okay, so, yes, let's go to war. In verse 4, finally, kind of after the fact, in verse 4 he says, hey, just a thought. Do you suppose we should inquire of the Lord about any of this? It's like, yeah, let's do that. You have prophets down there in Judah. We've got hundreds of prophets up here in Israel. Let me show them off. So, pretty quickly, he gathers 400 false prophets. Shall we go up to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into thy hand. So, these 400 prophets say, yes, go, and you will return a conqueror. It's all going to be wonderful. And finally, in verse 6, Jehoshaphat consents something is not right. He says there in verse 6, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides? I mean, this is great and all. All these prophets putting on their little show. Hey, down where I'm from, we kind of like prophets of the Lord. You know, someone that can get a hold of God, not a bunch of people that make believe that they're getting something from somewhere. Is there not a prophet of the Lord besides? If you're asking this man, you have no business going into battle with him. And the king said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one. There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Okay, deal breaker. Deal breaker. There is one guy that can get a hold of God. Again, it's like, now you know this. You know that these guys aren't getting a hold of God. And you know there's one guy that does get a hold of God. And you can't stand him because he never says anything nice about you. Deal breaker. But when you start to compromise, the strangest things begin to make sense. Alarm bells should have been going off. I hate him. For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. His name is Micaiah. So the guy that gets a hold of God never has anything nice to say about you? The guy that gets a hold of God never has anything nice to say about you. The guy that hears from God. Is that the guy we're talking about? The guy that can get a hold of God doesn't have nice things to say about you? Yeah. Anyway, that should have been a deal breaker. All right. So, again, you have the cat, right? The illustration of the cat. If the cat is irritated because you're rubbing the fur the wrong way, you can change the direction of your stroke or the cat can turn around. And if the preacher is hearing from God and he keeps rubbing you the wrong way, he can either lie about what God is saying or you can turn around so that God isn't rubbing your fur the wrong way anymore. His name is Micaiah, and I hate him. So these 400 told Ahab he would return a conqueror. And again, Jehoshaphat is listening to this circus, these 400 people, and he's listening, he's watching. One of the false prophets, there. Zedekiah, he even has horns of iron that he has created. You know, he's, and I don't know, presumably he's acting it out. He's like, and then this, you're gonna, it'll be wonderful. You're gonna push over your enemies. You're gonna shove them out of the way. It's gonna be, and Jehoshaphat is watching this circus take place. How preposterous. And finally, Micaiah is brought forth. And someone explains to him, they're like, listen, everyone else is telling the king what he wants to hear. You probably should too. And again, Jehoshaphat is right there. Micaiah says basically there in verse 13, I'm going to say what God wants me to say. And then I think we might have some biblical sarcasm here. Micaiah jokingly says, proceed as planned. And then Ahab, you can see him rolling his eyes. In verse 15, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? In verse 16, he finally says, these 400 says you're going to come back a conqueror. And I'm telling you, you're going to come back a corpse if you go. Jehoshaphat is listening to that report. There's one guy that can get a hold of God. And this one guy says, these other guys, they're being driven by a false prophet, by a lying spirit. If you go, you'll come back a corpse. You will not come in peace. Zedekiah, verse 23, smites Micaiah. He punches him. Earlier in this chapter, he says, I am as thou art. There's one guy that can get a hold of God. He gets punched. Jehoshaphat is watching all of this. The preacher gets punched. It should have been the preacher that was more in tune with what Jehoshaphat was. Are you getting this? The preacher. Jehoshaphat, one chapter ago, was seeking after the Lord and being blessed, and he's tearing down the high places, and he's following God. He's sending Levites throughout the land to teach people the law. Now he's up north, and he's making a new friend. His new friend puts on this circus. They pull out this one guy that can get a hold of God. They punch him, and in a while, they send him back to prison, and Jehoshaphat continues as planned and goes into battle with him. When compromise creeps in. He watches all of this and goes forward with the plan. Then, at the end of this chapter, so they go into battle. And then again, Ahab says, hey, when we go into battle, why don't you dress up like you're me? And I will disguise myself like a normal soldier. It's like, okay. And that made sense. When you begin to compromise, the weirdest things make sense. And so there he is, out in the battle. And the enemy is targeting him. Finally, he cries out. God delivers him. The enemy says, wait, that's not Ahab. And a random arrow is fired and hits a random soldier that happens to be King Ahab. He dies, just like the man of God had said. When compromise enters your life, boy, the focus was on God. I'm focusing on what matters to Him. Holiness matters to Him. Purity matters to Him. But then things get to be so good that your focus is off of God. You're focusing here and they say, man, what about that person over there? Separation seems so hateful. Boy, I should be focusing more on what unites me to the people around me, not what divides me. And the who is out the window. When compromise creeps in, battles are lost. Defeat enters your life and battles are lost. In Jehoshaphat's life, personal and national defeat. Well, I have good news. Failure is not final. In 2 Chronicles 19, 1 through 2, he's going to get preached at. The king is going to get preached at. All right? Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. So we're in 2 Chronicles 19. Jehoshaphat, he returns to his house in peace. Micaiah said that Ahab would not return in peace. He returned in pieces, maybe, but not in peace. Returned in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, so the preacher went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat. So in case you're thinking, I don't know, maybe it wasn't so bad what he did. Are you reading into this? Maybe God wasn't displeased with this. Maybe this is just just bad luck. No, the preacher is going to make it very clear how God viewed this. All right? And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Love them that hate the Lord? Listen, this progressive Christianity out there that says people, and it is about people, but you can't forget him. You need to view people through his eyes. When you leave him out of the equation, that's called compromise. And defeat. Battles are lost. And God says, why are you going to love them that hate the Lord? That's how God saw it. So I don't care how that progressive Christian sees it and puts it on social media or whatever. God sees it right here. Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Boy, but Jehoshaphat got back to the Lord. He got his focus back on God. Isn't that a blessing? Oh, listen to this. Oh, listen to this. This is encouraging. It's encouraging. Chapter 19, verses 3 and following. The man of God was encouraging. Isn't that a blessing? Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem and went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord. You said, what do you mean back unto the Lord? All he did was make friends with the neighbors to the north. Somehow in all of that, the people quit following God. He had to bring them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. Man, things were good when God was his focus. Things were good when God was his focus. And said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord. Ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Verse 7. Now therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity of the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. Oh my, he got back to focusing on the one who truly matters, God up in heaven. Now the rest there in chapter 20, that's an exciting chapter. And I have a little bit of time, so I want to read through some of my favorite parts. This is exciting. When you're focused on God, and God sends problems to get our focus on him. And so in chapter 20, problems came. And when they, when problems come, and I assume at churches or businesses, they'll say, I want to talk to the man in charge. Who's in charge here? and then some like, well, you can't talk. You can talk to a secretary. You can set up an appointment. Do you realize you can talk to the one in charge? Amen. You can go to the one in charge. I mean, the one, that is a blessing. That is such a blessing. The sorry thing is a lot of time we're not interested until a problem enters our life. Listen to this. So we'll kind of jump through chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and also the children of Seir, of Mount Seir, the Edomites were a part of this later on, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 2. It was told, Jehoshaphat, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared. That's healthy. Whenever fear enters your life, Mr. Haiti was telling me, you know, sometimes in life when you can't stand, you're not able to stand because of the problems, kneel. When problems enter your life and you cannot stand, it's a good time to kneel. So here, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Set himself to seek the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that was every day for us? Set himself to seek the Lord. Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before a new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? God's got his attention. It's healthy when God has your undivided attention. And rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Oh God, this problem is bigger than me, but you are bigger than this problem. Art thou not our God? Oh, that's a good thing to be able to say. Who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. He goes on, but let's jump down to verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the son of Asaph, came. So we can cut out that middle part. Then upon Jehaziel came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah. So he's got a word from the Lord. Boy, earlier he didn't really care about the word from the Lord, did he? Micaiah had a word from the Lord. If you go, you won't come back alive, King Ahab. Let's do this. Did you not hear what the man just said? Oh, it's good when he cares about what God has to say. Do you care about what God has to say? In a time of compromise, you don't. I am guilty, and so are you, because you're human just like me, where we'll sit in those pews and hear a word from the Lord, because compromise has crept in, we don't care. But God is merciful, and he brings us back. Do you care tonight? A word from the Lord. Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Ah, oh. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. It's just fun to read, cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Druel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Isn't that good? Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow ye go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah, oh, wouldn't it be nice if America would do that? And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Verse 20, they arose early in the morning, went forth to into the wilderness by Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe. You mean before? No, if I see the victory, then I'll believe. And sometimes you need to believe before you see the victory. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed not soldiers. Verse 21. He didn't appoint soldiers. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. And that they should praise the beauty of holiness. Up north, that represented worldliness. When worldliness has your attention, there is defeat. When holiness has your attention, there is victory. That they should praise the beauty of holiness. Singers instead of soldiers. And they went up before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. They were praising him before the victory even happened. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Verse 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels. They stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. It took them 3 days to gather the riches from this victory. Verse 26, and on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berekah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place they called the valley of Berekah unto this day. Then they returned every man to go to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Berekah means praise. Praise. They praised God before he gave the victory. You ever think, well, I keep asking God for something and I just keep waiting to see him do it. Do you ever praise God for victory before he gives it to you? When you say, God, I need your help. And I know you're a God who loves to help. So thank you in advance for the help I know you'll give me. You love me and you like to take care of me. Thank you in advance. I tell you, when you worship God, he can't help himself but to pour out victory in your life when he has your attention. Oh, I wish the story ended here. It doesn't. Things were good again. Things were good again. And when things are good, boy, this setting your heart to seek the Lord. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And maybe part of what Paul was talking about, right? In Corinthians, when he says, I will glory in my infirmities, because day after day after day after day, it reminds me that I need God. And I need the reminder that I need God, because when things are good, I forget so quickly. When you compromise, you're defeated in battle. When you compromise, you're defeated in business. Look at the end of chapter 20. The end of chapter 20, verse 35. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. What? No! Why? He joined himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. I don't know, these preachers that come and say, listen, that's not right. Well, God hasn't convicted me personally about that yet. When God drags me away from it, I'll consider giving it up. Verse 36. He joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, these prophets, these preachers, they keep showing up, rubbing them the wrong way. Turn around, Jehoshaphat. Then Eleazar, the son of Dodavah of Marisha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. You know, when we compromise, defeat in battle enters our life. Things were so good back when it was just God and what he wanted. When we compromise, there's defeat in the area of business. And I have bad news. There's defeat in the area of your bloodline. His children. Listen to what it says in chapter 21, verses 1 and following. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. And he had brethren. Yay! It's nice to have brothers. The sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah,
and Jehiel and Zechariah and Azariah and Michael and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all of his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. He killed everybody. And eventually he dies. His wife, Athaliah, she goes on to try to wipe out the seed royal. Kill everyone in the messianic line. I don't know if she realized what she was doing, but she was definitely being used of the devil to wipe out the line of Christ. I think it was Joash was the one that was able to barely escape her. How sad. How sad. Now listen here, and you say, well, what does this have to do with compromise? Well, his father arranged that marriage. And it says here, verse 5, when Jehoram was 32 years old, when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he walked like Israel, for because he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. Because a long time ago, his father joined the houses. He focused on what unites us rather than what divides us. There was defeat in battle. There was defeat in business. And there was defeat in his bloodline. But son, Jehoshaphat could have said, but son, why would you kill all your brothers? Why would you do these evil things? Why would you follow after the house of Ahab? Your father loved God. And he did. Jehoshaphat loved God. He did. But there was compromise mixed in as well. It scares me. Because I'm looking at a church full of people that love God. And a church full of people that sometimes get a little too comfortable with worldliness. The compromise has a way of creeping in. And we're making associations with people. I see us getting too close to some people who are not in love with God, who are very much in love with the world. Young people, is it a Hollywood actor? Do you feel closer to a Hollywood actor than to your youth pastor? He's more my hero. I read one of those Hollywood actors, and I think it was one of the Marvel guys, and they were quoting him and saying, "Ah, those people that believe in two genders, they're idiots, and they're going to die out with the dinosaurs." And I think that's one of the heroes of some of our people in here. Sometimes it could be family. You say, but they're my neighbors to the north. Do we have family that is thoroughly in love with the world, and we're not being careful enough? It could be someone in this church thoroughly in love with the world, and you have to watch it. Pray for them. Be a good example. But that verse, Pastor Olson preached two wonderful lessons on friends. You look them up. They're wonderful in Sunday school. You can look, and you should look him up. And one of his main verses was, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." How does the Bible define a fool? The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." The fool says in his heart, "No God. No. What you want doesn't matter to me. That should not be your friend." Pray for him. Be kind. Try to bring them to where they should be. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. When compromise creeps in, Jehoshaphat, oh, there were so many wonderful, wonderful things. But compromise took so many things from him. Church family, the New Testament reminds us that the Old Testament is there for our learning. Examples as we study these men. Let's learn from this man. Let's be on guard lest compromise creep in. I'll pray and I'll turn things over to Dr. Volkan. Lord, I do pray that you'd be with this lesson. Oh God, in just a little bit we'll split up into our prayer groups. And may it not be just we socialize for a little bit and then close our eyes and read through a list. God, I pray that we as a church would be serious about this matter of prayer. Help us to get a hold of you, Lord. When Israel worshiped and they praised you, when they sang about the beauty of your holiness, God, you showed yourself in a mighty and powerful way. We need that, oh God. We need you to show yourself in a mighty and powerful way, and you will. When this church, Lord, turns its back on worldliness and follows after holiness. I pray, oh God, that we'd learn from this lesson when compromise creeps in. Oh God, I pray that we'd pray tonight and that our prayers would be honoring and glorifying to you. Thank you that we can pray. What an awful price it cost for us to have access to the throne of grace. Thank you, oh God, as was preached tonight, that we can go to the one who is in charge and ask him to help with things. What a blessing. Forgive us when we don't take more advantage of that. May our prayers honor and glorify you tonight. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.